Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Imagine this, a pristine modern home in a peaceful suburban neighborhood. It's the kind of place that promises a fresh start, a blank slate. But what if something unseen was waiting there, hidden just beneath the surface of everyday life? Tonight, we take you inside one such house, a house where shadows moved when no one was there. Whispers broke the silence of the night, and a family dog, once loyal and fearless, became paralyzed by an invisible terror. The experiences started subtly, as if testing the waters, but they soon grew impossible to ignore. What happens when a skeptic is forced to confront the inexplicable? Can reason stand against the unknown? Or does the unknown always win? These questions haunt the letter we're about to share, a first-hand account of growing unease, startling encounters, and a final confrontation that left more questions than answers. Let's get to the letter. They write, "My story starts in what should have been the perfect house. It was a new build in Elk Grove, California, a neighborhood filled with sprawling homes, manicured lawns, and the quiet hum of suburban life. My dad and his girlfriend had just bought it, a massive upgrade from our previous place, with half an acre of land and the promise of nothing but peace and privacy. The house was pristine, barely 2 years old, and its only previous owners had left after less than a year. I remember my dad mentioning their quick exit, chalking it up to a messy divorce. Nothing unusual, right? But from the moment I first walked through those doors, I felt something. It was subtle at first, a kind of unease that was hard to explain. Not fear exactly, but like someone or something was always watching. At first, I thought I was imagining it. On my weekend visits, I'd sit on the couch in the living room staring at the TV, only to catch flickers of movement in the family room, just beyond. It was always out of the corner of my eye, a shadow shifting across the wall or the dimming of light, like someone had walked between me and the lamp. I told myself it was just my imagination or a trick of the light. After all, this house was new. It didn't fit the mold of a haunted place. But then, there were the nights when it wasn't just me. One evening, we were all sitting together, my dad, his girlfriend, and me, watching TV. I wasn't going to say anything about the shadow I thought I saw moving across the family room, not until my dad's girlfriend turned to him and asked, "Did you see that?" My dad hesitated, then nodded. "Yeah, the shadow that just walked by. I saw it, but I didn't want to say anything. I thought it was just me." That was the first time I felt a chill go through me, the kind that settles deep into your chest and lingers. If we were all seeing it, could it really be nothing? A month later, I was back for another visit. My dad and his girlfriend had gone to Home Depot, leaving me alone in the house. I was upstairs in the computer room, the faint glow of the monitor lighting the walls behind me. The room was quiet, too quiet, and then I felt it. A tap on my shoulder. Not a breeze, not my imagination. It was a deliberate, distinct tap. I froze. My heart was pounding so hard I thought I might faint. I didn't dare turn around. I just sat there, hands trembling, pretending I hadn't felt anything. The seconds dragged on like hours until finally I stood up, walked out of the room, and sat downstairs in the living room, lights blazing, until my dad got back. After that night, I started visiting less and less. I didn't tell anyone what had happened. I couldn't bring myself to. Talking about it would only make it feel more real, and I wasn't ready for that. But whatever was in that house didn't stop. If anything, it got bolder. The family dog, a border collie who had never had any issues before, began refusing to go outside. You'd have to drag her to the door just to get her to the backyard. Then, almost overnight, it flipped. She refused to come inside, bolting out the door the moment it opened and trembling when we tried to coax her back in. That wasn't all. My dad started noticing things, too. It was subtle at first, the same shadows, the same flickers of movement, but then one night, as he was brushing his teeth in the upstairs bathroom, he saw it. In the mirror reflected in the bedroom behind him, a shadow figure walked past. He didn't want to scare his girlfriend, so he didn't say anything, but I could tell something was weighing on him. The turning point came one night when I stayed over, despite my better judgment, in the corner of my room near the ceiling. I noticed something, a black shape, like a shifting blob of darkness, just hanging there. I pointed it out to my dad the next morning. He saw it too. "It's nothing," he said. But his voice was tight, and I could tell he didn't believe his own words. The thing was, it wasn't there during the day, only at night. Every time I stayed in that room after that, it was there, always in the same corner, watching. Things escalated quickly after that. One night I woke up in the middle of the night, my throat dry and my body tense for no reason. I could explain. I told myself it was nothing. I just needed some water. I turned on the stair lights and made my way down to the kitchen as the house was quiet. The kind of silence that felt unnatural, like it was holding its breath. The dog, usually at my side, followed me reluctantly, her head low and her steps hesitant. I tried to shake off the feeling, focusing on the cool water in my hand. And then, just as I turned to head back upstairs, I heard it. A whisper. Not a breeze, not the creak of the house settling, but a distinct voice, low and urgent, right in my ear. I couldn't make out the words, but the tone was unmistakable. My heart stopped, and the glass slipped from my hand, shattering on the floor. The dog lost it. She bolted, barking wildly at me, her eyes wide with fear. But it wasn't me she was scared of. It was something around me, something I couldn't see. I froze, the hair on the back of my neck standing on end, and ran upstairs as fast as I could, tripping on the last step in my rush to get away. I didn't sleep that night, like I never told my dad about that experience. I couldn't. It was bad enough living with the memory, let alone speaking it out loud. But not long after, my dad had his own encounter. His girlfriend was out of town for work, and he was alone in the house. He was getting ready for bed, brushing his teeth in the upstairs bathroom. From the mirror, he saw it. A shadow figure walking quickly past the doorway behind him. He spun around, but nothing was there. Determined not to let fear control him, my dad locked up the house, turned off all the lights, and walked downstairs into the pitch darkness. He called out, daring whatever it was to show itself. "Come on!" he yelled. "Show me what you've got." And then he heard it, just a growl, deep, guttural, and so close it felt like it was coming from inside his own head. He froze. Every muscle in his body locked with fear. But he didn't run. He walked calmly to the kitchen, got himself a glass of water, and went back upstairs to bed as if nothing had happened. The next day he called me, his voice shaking as he recounted what had happened. That was the first time I told him about the whisper I'd heard in the kitchen. He decided enough was enough. He called a priest to bless the house, but the priest couldn't come for 2 days. In the meantime, my dad took matters into his own hands. He walked through every room in the house, reading verses from the Bible. When he started in the family room, we heard it, a metallic bang from upstairs, loud enough to make us jump. We ran to check, but nothing was out of place. Nothing had fallen. The sound had no explanation. But then, just as suddenly as it had begun, the activity stopped. The black blob disappeared from the corner of my room. The dog returned to her normal self, no longer afraid to come inside. The shadows and whispers ceased. It was as if the house had been purged. It wasn't until weeks later that we noticed something strange in the photos we'd taken during Christmas. Photos we'd uploaded after the chaos had ended. In a series of pictures of the staircase, an orb of light appeared, moving steadily upward in each frame. When we zoomed in on it, we saw a face. A faint, blurry face. I still think about that house sometimes, about what it was and what it wanted. Maybe we'll never know, but I'll never forget the way it felt to live there. The way the air always seemed heavier than it should have been. Let me know what you think of my story. What do you think it was lurking in that Elk Grove home? A restless spirit? A manifestation of lingering emotions from the land's past? Or could it be something else entirely? A shared psychological response to subtle environmental cues that grew into a full-blown haunting. Let's start with the skeptic's lens. Could these experiences be explained by environmental factors? Shadows and flickers of light might result from the play of headlights on nearby streets or minor electrical fluctuations in the house. The whispering and growling, and perhaps auditory pareidolia, where our brains perceive meaningful sounds in the chaos of background noise. And the dog's fear. Could she have been reacting to a scent, an animal nearby, or even the family's own anxiety, which animals are known to pick up on? But then there's the other side, the side that chills us to the bone, the synchronization of events, the visible black blob, the shared experiences. These details are harder to dismiss. The deep growl heard by the father, the whispered voice, the chilling photograph of an orb with a face. Each element layers on a sense of intent, as if whatever was in the house wanted to be acknowledged. And let's not forget the boldness of this presence. It wasn't confined to flickers in the corner of an eye or faint whispers. It tapped shoulders, whispered directly in ears, and paralyzed even the family dog with fear. These are classic hallmarks of a haunting with a will of its own. Perhaps most chilling of all is the resolution. The father's act of reading Bible verses, whether spiritual or psychological, seemed to force the presence into retreat. Did the family banish a restless spirit, or did it simply decide it had made its point and move on? Whatever the case, one thing is certain. Experiences like these stick with you. They remind us of how much we don't understand about the world around us, and how the unseen can sometimes feel more real than the visible. So was it psychological, paranormal, or a little of both? That's for you to decide. But next time you feel a tap on your shoulder or hear a whisper in an empty room, don't be so quick to dismiss it. Until next time, stay curious, stay skeptical, and most importantly, stay safe.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.